When you hear the expression Christ and the faith, what has called your mind? We're going to be back in just a few moments after a word of prayer to discuss, under the caption of practical preaching, what Jesus had to say about faith. At this time, if you care to join us and can, feel free to do so while we pray on the broadcast. Let us pray. Our Father and our God who art in heaven, we come into thy presence this day with glad hearts that you have spared our lives throughout the past week. And we now have an opportunity of sitting down and opening thy word and studying from the greatest word in the entire world. We're grateful for all who listen today, Father. And we're thankful for the brethren in Christ who stand behind the proclamation of this gospel, realizing that we, through thy church and thy people, want to glorify thy name. We pray for the sick, and we pray for those who mourn the loss of loved ones. Our prayer goes out not alone for the physical sick, but those who are in a sea of sin today, who have never obeyed the gospel, or those who have once known thy name, and as the true proverb says, have turned once again, the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire, and the dog to his own vomit. We pray on the broadcast today for nations of the world, and certainly our own nation, and may the leaders of nations at this time realize that the impact of thy word is the true way that men can first gain peace with thee, and then see clearly to take Christ and his teaching to the peace table and solve the problems of the world that are about us. Help us in this proclamation, Father, that sinners may know the truth to come from sin. And if those who are in Christ Jesus, those tender in years as newborn babes in Christ, and those who are spiritual adults, will have the faith to continue on being faithful unto death. This is our humble prayer we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. Friends, this is lesson number 3 under the caption of practical preaching. And we believe that this is teaching and preaching that can be applied to your life and to my life. Jesus in his personal ministry brought things to a climax by telling his apostles just before he went to heaven. This was after his death and after his resurrection and just before his ascension. In Mark 16 and 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He tells them in the next verse what is to be done with the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Another record of this is found in the closing chapter, well, the last chapter, in the closing of Matthew's account of the gospel. In his biography history of the life of Jesus, he simply says that Jesus told the apostles to teach all nations, to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, to teach them to observe whatsoever things he had commanded them, and he would be with them. You see, when he sent them out and told them that they were to teach all nations, they were to be baptized truly in his name for the remission of sins, that this would imply that men had believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. This was brought out, as we mentioned on 2 broadcasts ago, in the preaching of Philip the Evangelist to the man from Ethiopia as he met him on the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. When he had heard the gospel preached, he simply said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Paul picked up this wonderful theme and told the Romans in chapter 10 of that epistle, Romans 10 and 10, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Christ, of course, mentioned that we should confess our true belief in him as the Son of God. We could deny him and lose our soul. We could confess him and go on to eternal life. The thing I'm interested in the broadcast today is not simply to leave the thought in this practical preaching of the necessity of Christ's teaching that we should believe, but to show how this belief can be applied. One other scripture that would show the importance of faith, Bible faith, in the lives of every person is found once again in the writing of the Apostle Paul, this time a reference that you may want to remember on this broadcast, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that believing he truly would have life in his name. Yes, if we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then we're aware of the fact that if we come to Him, we must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So when you look at Hebrews 11 and 6, and you find that it indicates very definitely that faith is a must, then ask yourself the question, really, what does this faith include? Jesus at one time was astonished during His personal ministry at both the depth of faith and also the lack of faith. But what did He actually mean when He said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved"? Well, one thing that could be said about it was the gospel teaching was to be received into the heart. Yes, much like James says in James 1 and 21, that we receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save our soul. But Jesus also said, in a very definite manner, that there were those who did not believe in Him. Now, on one of His journeys, He came across the Sea of Galilee. And as He came to the country there, He found a man who was possessed with devils. It was simply referred to as Legion. You remember those devils cried out and simply said, "We know who You are. Have You come to torment us before our time?" Could we say that the devils really believed that Christ was the Son of God? We know that they did. And yet we find that this could not be the type of belief or the type of faith that Christ has in mind when He told people to believe and be baptized. Also, we're aware of the fact that James brought out the point in the second chapter of his marvelous epistle when he said that devils believe and tremble. So at once this sets up a picture of the difference between a mere belief or an understanding that Christ exists and a true faith that is so needed. Faith is something that has a number of dimensions associated with it. It does have belief. So I think we can say that no faith could actually be alive. The faith that Jesus is referring to could not be alive without the necessity for belief. We must believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth, that He lived upon this earth, that He died upon the cross, that He was buried, that He arose again. We must believe that He is the Son of God. But this belief must actually be proven, as our faith can only be alive by our works or righteous deeds of obedience. Thus, we're aware of the fact that there is a faith, there is an action associated with this faith that is necessary to prove the faith. So it is necessary to believe that Christ is the Son of God. But then it is necessary to trust Him. And this simply implies the love that we have for Him. Remember the words that Christ offered to His apostles when He had announced to them that He was going to have to leave them? If you haven't read recently that wonderful 14th chapter of John that tells us to believe in God and to believe in Christ, read as you find in verse 15 the wonderful words, "If ye love Me, keep My commandments." You never have found a person who really had faith that the Lord wanted him to have, a genuine faith, who did not put his trust in Jesus and who was not willing to obey Him. And I believe that's the third dimension of this faith. It must always be our conviction, our trust, our love must always be proven by our willingness to obey. So when Jesus said, "If you love Me, keep My commandments," He was offering a teaching that is definitely a heartbeat of faith itself. After all, how does faith work and how does it live in your life? Listen to the Apostle Paul once again as he wrote to the churches, the congregations in the province of Galatia. You'll find it in your Bible in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6, when he simply tells us that faith works by love. The great example of love that was shown by God to give His only begotten Son, the response of man to this was a belief. That's a real faith that he's talking about there. And the faith was brought out in a very definite manner by the obedience of these people to the teaching of God's Word. One thing I think that is apparent when you look at this lesson is that you will never find a person exhibiting faith in Christ and in God who is constantly disobeying what God has offered. Those who violate the teaching of God's Word and who simply violate what Christ offered to His apostles are those who never do show their faith in Christ Jesus. Now, the interesting factor is this faith begins when we hear the Word of God.
Listen to Paul again this day in Romans 10:17, when he said, "So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God." The important factor is that the faith that we're talking about is that which must come from the Bible. There are those who spend their time in looking at the sunset, in looking at the flowers, in looking at the works of nature, and tell us they can see God there. Well, I believe we can see God many places, and I'm not doubting that at all. But the God that I'm talking about, and the Christ that we're talking about, the faith that we must have in them, is that which comes from the Word of God. Then how long is this faith to continue? Paul said in Galatians 6:9, "Let us not become weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." How long are we going to be working? Revelation 2:10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." So as Jesus was talking to his apostles just before he went to heaven, he told them that it was necessary that men should have faith in him. You go into all the world and you preach that gospel to every creature. You tell people what the gospel has to offer. You see, they didn't do this until the Holy Spirit came upon them at Pentecost. And then they had that divine power that first of all began with the importance of faith. If you want to read something a little more on this subject today, read the wonderful words that are found in the first chapter of 2 Peter, "Giving all diligence, add to your faith and virtue and knowledge and unto charity." We're going to have to leave you on the broadcast today, but it's been good to be with you. May you realize that the practical preaching includes Christ and the faith.